Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day off crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
how to do something that you never did before. Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. Now, so in the context, however, of staying in line with the idea that you can get help from the ancestor, it's like when you are in a problem area that stay on the outside. So external knowledge, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, read, study, reflect, learn, think into and about things that are at your access outside of yourself. Let's call it in the objective world. There's knowledge out there. There's knowledge out there. And so you can get that knowledge from out there in trying to solve a problem. But let's say all of your knowledge and all of your sense of where to go outside in the objective world to solve your problem, you run out of resources. You run out of, I have no idea what to do. When you get to that point, then your mechanism will turn itself inside. And it's probably already been looking inside and outside at the same time, all right, because the same problem. You're one being with an objective problem and also a subjective problem. It's a problem on the inside of you because I'm uncomfortable, because it's a problem, whatever it is, don't matter. And so, therefore, your mind that reaches out into the external environment looking for a solution, it's been looking. But then also at the same time, there's the subjective now. Let that be the intuition, a way of understanding it. Your intuition will go inside of your being, which includes the access to all information in you. We've just been conditioned to think about, the tool that does the thinking inside of us. We think about it as being in our brain, and so therefore we think everything is happening in and from the head. And alhamdulillah, that's a way of understanding. But your mind is not located in your brain. The brain is like it's a transceiver. The brain is a transceiver. It's a home. It's a home for the mind. You can also call it a generator of the mind, meaning that it's the electricity that makes mind possible, right? Okay, when that electricity, the brain, when that stops, okay, that's it. It's done. We say brain dead, and et cetera. So the mind no longer has a home, and so therefore it's gone wherever it goes. But let's keep the brain alive right now. So the point is that intuition searches the entire database of you. That intuition searches the entire database of you. So go back to the Imam's statement when he said that you can get help from an ancestor. Well, you don't have to think about your ancestors having wings or Wakanda forever, all of that. You don't have to think about that. You don't think about it. No disrespect to anybody, but you don't have to think about that. It's possible that your mind, remember, sand, glass, sandpaper, silicon, blah, 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 your mind could find it out there, or your intuition, and both, intuition outside and intuition inside. And it can also find the answer inside of your database, of the database of you, and then deliver it to your consciousness or deliver it to your mind. Consciousness is like universal. We spent time talking about that. But deliver it to the system that puts words to what is delivered, who gives the language to it. And then we experience it as aha. That's what they talk about, the aha moments. And it's very, very rich. I want to remind you again. I don't know if you've gotten to it, if you had the time or whatever. I understand. You have to get this book, Why God Won't Go Away. It would be a very valuable book for you. It's not a small book, but mashallah. So why God won't go away. It's a very, very, very excellent explanation of how these moments happen, and the neurology of it all. But I won't go there. Okay, so you get that's one of the places and one of the ways that you can get the help from the ancestors, and you don't have to think about bid'ah and all the rest of that or anything like that. Now, what the imam also, so in that, okay, so much for that. So, well, I'll stay with this. During that same conversations, the imam talked about intuition, and when he spoke of intuition, he spoke about there's two kinds of intuition. There's a kind of intuition that is a searching intuition, meaning that you don't know where something is and you're looking and you're trying to find something. Then there's an intuition that goes out, just like a bloodhound, let's call it, that intuition that goes out and it finds what it is that you're looking for. You put your intuition on the job by your question, your desire, and it goes looking for what you're looking for, right? And inshallah, it finds it. So that means that based on your objective knowledge, you may not have any objective way of finding what it is that you're looking for. Okay, so the objective side is out because you simply don't have the knowledge. Okay, you don't have the objective knowledge, but that you're not out of the game. You're not out of the game because you don't have the objective knowledge. Okay, that turns on the intuition. So the intuition goes looking for it, right? And inshallah, if the intuition finds something like or the thing itself that you're looking for, then it comes back to that same transceiver and brings it to your consciousness and say, okay, here, this is what I found. And we experience it as an aha moment, right? So that's intuition, the searching intuition. And then there's the intuition that identifies something, meaning that, I'll give you an example that he gave me. He says that he was testing his own intuition on an occasion, and so someone who was participating with him in this test, they asked him, I'm thinking about something right now. Okay, tell me what they're saying this to the imam. Tell me what it is I'm thinking about, right? And so the imam, either he said that it was egg and yolk, meaning like a fried egg, like egg and yolk. Or they said, or they were actually thinking about it, and he said, I'm seeing the sun and clouds. I'm seeing the sun and clouds. In either case, if the person was thinking about egg and yolk, and the imam said, I see sun and clouds, that's what the sun and the clouds, the egg and yolk, can seem or be like a sun and clouds. Sun and clouds. And again, vice versa. If the person was thinking about sun and clouds and the imam was thinking about egg and yolk, same thing. The point in the connection is that this is the issue about intuition and abstraction. The issue about intuition and abstraction is abstract is truth without details, right? So staying with that egg and yolk example, it's like, okay, does egg and yolk look like cloud and sun? Yes. You can construct a picture that where you have the yellow sun and the white clouds, that's egg and yolk, right? But what is it? It's abstract. It's the truth without details. Does it look like, does either one of them look like the other in detail? No. But can either be an abstraction of the other? Yes. And that's what abstract is. It's the truth. It matches, and the term in Quran is methala. It's a likeness. Shabbaha is also another. It's a like, but methala, sticking with what we're talking about, similitudes, parables, metaphors. That's how Allah teaches us. So Allah gives us the abstract. Now we have to go after the details. And this is what he says. He says, think on it. Because the mind that I gave you, Allah, the mind, the mechanism for thought that I gave you, its fundamental power is abstract thought. That's its power. Its ability to look at concrete and abstract, draw out from the concrete details, which you can, upon the possession of those details, you can elaborate something in the world that is concrete, objective, functional, useful, etc. Just like in the khutbah that we played, the nanotechnology, the nanocellulose. The nanocellulose, you can go into the nanocellulose and pull something out of something that is fundamentally grass that will be stronger than steel. Also, the graphite, look into graphite this is stuff that, you know, you don't think of it as being as strong as it actually is because of what it is by nature and its fundamental reality. It's like, no. By the time you apply the right science to it, it's like you got something that's strong. There's actually a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can look at all these things. You can look it up if you want to look it up. But I'm saying it'd be good if you will. But I'm not pushing it one way or the other. But there was a battle that the Muslims were in, and a Muslim came to the Prophet. The battle was still going on, and the Prophet was away from the battle in that sense, and the person's sword had broken. The person's sword is broken, or he lost his sword, and he didn't have anything to fight with. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he took a bundle of grass, and gave it to the man and told him to go fight with this. And that thing was transformed. Listen, I'm going to let you follow it up. That thing was transformed into a sword, and he fought with that sword. And according to the reports that I'm remembering, that this person even was buried with the sword. And I know something a little shady about that part of it, because I don't think Muslims bury people with those implements. However, it's something worth looking into. That has bearing on what I'm saying, the transformative power of things that seem to be of one substance, but then to be transformed into another substance. Just like sand and glass and silicon. Okay. So, intuition. Okay, so intuition, the seeking intuition and the finding and the identifying, two types of intuition that the Imam spoke of. The one that searches, goes looking for something that you don't know where it is. It goes searching. And then you have the one that is identifying, one that identifies something that you're being asked to say what it actually is, but it's obscure from you. All right. So that intuition, that. All right. Let me go ahead. There's a transition moment for me, us right now. If you want to jump in with a question, now would be a good time. Question, comment, need for clarification, any of that, now would be the time. Not all at once. Bismillah. Okay. 618, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Askia.
Hey, alaikum assalam. How you doing, brother, man? Allahu Akbar. What's going on, man?
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Everything's going great.
Good.
I know this is not necessarily the setting, but let me also just go ahead and talk to you. Send out my condolences.
Alhamdulillah.
To you and the family. And Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed you and blessed us through you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Something that it made me think of, that sometimes in prayer, in the last, we're saying the words, we're reflecting, inshallah, from what Allah has revealed, what is communicating with us, we're being taught. And it's not a discomfort, but at times, many of us might not admit it, but we get answers to things we're looking for.
Yeah.
I know we don't stop right there to reflect upon that thing.
Yeah.
We have to pick it up while it's passing by.
Yeah.
Because it's the answer sometimes right there for something that we don't see directly in the prayer.
Yeah.
And it has happened to me enough the way
yeah.
I recognize it's a reality, but we don't go into that to reflect upon anything and entertain it other than the revelation. But we have to pick up those gems. Could you elaborate upon that in relationship to the similarity with your chair?
Oh, absolutely. Alhamdulillah. I agree, and thank you for the question. Yes, I'm going to use the word absolutely the case. MashaAllah, this is no boast, but a pair. This was also mentioned last week. Someone had the same type of commentary. MashaAllah, I have to say, language, little bit of rhetoric, no hyperbole though. It's like it happens to me all the time. and by your testimony, ma'am, and others who have said it and who experienced, yes, that happens. And while I'm not going to get into it today, I say, there's this thing, sacred suggestibility. We'll get to it at some point in time. The sacred suggestibility is the state that we get put in when we come to Salat, and when we come to Salat sincerely. I've already said, and it's true, that the mind is a transceiver. So you talk about the brain, mind. Really, for us in this world, you can't separate brain from mind. I mean, brain, mind is an epiphenomena, if you will. A mind is a feature that is dependent upon the brain. It is dependent upon the brain. So as long as that mechanism is on, it is receiving and transceiving, that is receiving and projecting what we call thought. And so when we come to prayer, for the sake of understanding, there's this thing called the capacitor. I mean, everybody's got to, you know, further your study as you will. But there's in the old radio, right? You have AM/FM, and you have all these different bands. It's whatever, multi-band radios, right? So you got some radios, when you look at the face of it, you got four or five different wavelengths or what have you. The point meaning up and down, not just AM, FM, and whatever, CB and whoever else. And the point is that there is in radios, in that sense, in radios you have capacitors. And capacitors, what they do is they take from the frequency is talking about the wavelength, the length of the waves that are the carrier waves for whatever is broadcasting, whatever is doing the broadcasting. Those waves, they go up and down, up and down, up and down. And those waves have a certain length, a length between the trough and the top of the wave, right? So when it's down, that's because the up is positive and the down is negative. So there's an output in the positive, and it projects. And then when it goes away, then there's the down, there's the negative, there's a trough that gets created. to make radio, in order to make radio, in order to have a consistent signal, there is in radio this thing called the capacitor, right? And that that capacitor is what takes from the positive and releases it when the wave goes negative. It takes something from the positive, and so when the wave goes negative, then the capacitor releases a charge so that it levels out the carrier wave. It levels out the carrier wave so that the information will stay consistent. If you've ever had a radio and the sound goes in, goes out, goes in, goes out, it's because the capacitor has lost its capacity, all right? And therefore, the radio is broke. So it's not to lose the religious benefit of that statement, that the capacitor is faith. The capacitor is faith. So when you have faith, when life goes up and down and up and down, good, bad, which it will, when you have faith, then you're able to take from the good times and remembering the good times to enable you to understand that usra. So therefore, that keeps your life on a level, on an even keel, a progressive keel. And as the hadith of the Prophet says, that all things are good for the believer. So it doesn't matter if something is positive, it doesn't matter if something negative, because of their faith, they're able to stay on even keel because of that. So that's the capacitor. All right. So now when you look at the mind as a transceiver, having that function to receive and to broadcast, to receive and broadcast, that's what we do. Our minds do that. The next thing is tuning. On those radios, you have the tuning knob, right? The tuning knob. What are you doing with the tuning knob? Turn that station. They play the game on. What station is it on? So then you turn it, right, to that station, right? But what you're actually doing is more than turning to a station, you're turning away from the others. You're turning away from the others. Because whatever that device does in terms of focusing on a particular station, it is also taking your attention away from other stations, right? So you tune in to the station that you want and away from the stations that you don't want, right? So when we come to Salah, we're tuning everything else out. When we come to Salah, we're tuning everything else out. But since we are who we are, then you do come to prayer with things that you want to understand. Maybe sometimes things that, mashallah, and this is how it happens naturally. It's like something you wasn't even thinking about it, and that's really probably why we got closer to the answer, because you stopped thinking about it. Because thinking about it can also get in the way, because sometimes we think about what we want to know and what we want to understand, but we don't understand also that you're already committed to a particular answer. And because you're committed to a particular answer, you're tuned into that and you've tuned out everything else that could possibly be the answer. You've decided this is what it is and it's got to be over here and this has got to be there. So that's you're thinking into it and you're actually blocking out the answer. So sometimes when we go away, many times, when we go away from the thing that we have exerted our mind, our thinking, on, when we go away from it, then good. now we've gotten our mind, that mind that has been socialized and educated and, you know, committed and convicted to perceiving things in a certain way, in a certain frame, which becomes a block to other information which ain't inside your mind. Then, but when you go to Salat, it puts your mind aside. Puts your mind aside. And what does that do? That opens the door to places that the answer could come from when your mind ain't in the way. That's also where we'll find that we experience also. Sometimes in just as you wake up, there's the conscious and there's the preconscious moments. The moments just before you wake up, sometimes answers to things that you think about come just before you wake up in the morning, just before you wake up, boom, there's the answer, and then next thing you're opening your eyes. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what I need to do. Allahu Akbar. Allah has designed us that way. Allah has designed us that way. See, that's what submission is. So when you're in Salat, you submit. We did a whole series of khutbahs on the two sajdas. A lot of what I'm saying is tied into that. But the idea is that when we move out, when we move our mind out of the way, then opens the way for those answers from those sources that intuition would find. Your mind wouldn't find it, but intuition could find. Say, yeah, I'm glad you're going to sleep, man. I've been trying to get you this answer all the time. So then when we go to the prayer rug, all that's out of the way. We come into a state of sacred suggestibility, I'm saying, and then it gives access to our consciousness, information that our mind actually, in many instances, was blocking. Because we thought we already knew, but we didn't understand that we didn't understand the mistake that we were making by overthinking it. We have to let go and let God. That's not just for people in 12-step program. Let go and let God. Humility. It says power travels on the path of least resistance. Power travels along the path of least resistance. Somebody gets shocked. Electrically, they're electrocuted because that power found a path that had no resistance to it, and it made it to the individual. Well, it just so the rubber boots, rubber gloves, and all the rest of that provides the insulation. Well, then that can be also like our minds, that we have our own ideas of how we think things are supposed to be, and so therefore the power that Allah intends to reveal to us can't get through because there's resistance. Muslim is one who submits, and the greatest sign of our submission is prayer, sajda, is explicitly. And so when we're in that state, more power to you, right? More power comes to us, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Come to prayer, come to cultivation. That's one of the ways that we're cultivated in prayer. The mechanism gets cleared in order to do that. I'm thinking about the love of the game. Anybody else has a comment, you can punch up, punch in, ask a question right now. What comes to mind right now is for the love of the game. I think there's a Kevin Costner movie, and he's just this great pitcher in his last season or what have you. But his style, one of the things of the movie, quote unquote, is clear the mechanism. He said clear the mechanism, and then all the crowd noise goes away and all that. And so now all he's focused on is that little square, that little strike zone, and what he's doing and what he has to do in order to respond. And that accounted for the mastery of the game that he was demonstrating. Okay, well, that's what we do when we come to Salah. We say clear the mechanism. And with regard to being distracted in our thoughts, number one, as the Imam said, one of the things that you need to know what it is you're saying, because prayer is also education, right? So you need to know. You're not just making sounds like you're a bird or some other kind of animal that has no language and you're just making the sounds. No, you need to know that, because that's what you're actually supposed to be thinking about when you pray. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. You're supposed to be thinking about that when you say it. But if you don't know what those words mean, then there's nothing coming through in terms of that, right? Also, another way to, so that's the first and primary way to not be distracted in your prayer to useless thinking. The other is to don't think about the past and don't think about the future. Don't think about the past and don't think about the future. If you're standing on the prayer rug, you think about the past, whatever. You just got finished talking to your husband, to your wife, whatever, your children, about this, about that, or arguing with somebody, whatever. So you're on the prayer rug. What are you thinking about? Whatever just passed. Okay, well, you got a big meeting coming up. You got something that's stressing you out that's going to happen tomorrow or whatever, in an hour or what have you, or you're thinking about whatever, your future contact with someone, whatever. Bill ain't paid, whatever. It's like, but that's the future. That's not now. That's the future. So being focused on what it is you're doing, why it is you're doing it, what it is you're saying, that keeps your mind from being distracted to other things. Now, these things that comes to you in terms of an answer to something during the prayer, mashallah, inshallah, if it is Allah's will, you'll have it when you walk away from there. And it's a grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You thank Allah in that moment that it comes to you, and then inshallah, if and when you walk away from the prayer, you say, oh, and I still got it, then you write it down and go on. The rest is history. Alhamdulillah. So that is a reality. That is definitely a reality. Thank you, man. All right, so we only have five minutes left. We're going to spend time here. Anybody has another question, another comment that they want to bring with regard to this topic? In a manner of speaking, I think I've said what we need to understand for the objectives of this series about intuition. So we'll go into idea. Inshallah, we'll go into idea next week.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success. Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I run across so many things that could block me, but I made up my mind. Much more than I can see, and so much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking for the dollar track. Get ahead, I want the back.
I see my possibility.
I see them.
I'm
nothing, nothing.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله Thank you for joining us this morning for Quran Salah Institute الحمد لله we just played the last part of last week's recording الحمد لله so we continue on the subject, the goal, the aim is Ummah, community building, again, based on the principal problem, intuition, idea, ideology, institution, culture, etc. Culture is the end of it all, which also means Ummah. Now, let's go ahead and let me see. I'm gonna open up the lines right now. If you have a question or comment, for the moment, I can see the Facebook side. I can just, so if you have a comment or question you want to type in the Facebook at this time, but I want you to be aware. Once I start my normal course of presentation, I'm not looking at comments. So don't think I'm ignoring you. I don't use the comment section of Facebook as a way to interact with you while I'm teaching the class. So just understand that. But now is a moment where if you're online, you have a question, you have some, you've been in touch with the subject matter for the series, then yes, you can bring that comment. And let me say to all of my fathers online, and we'll hear this in the future. Happy Father's Day, and belated for those who hear it later. Alhamdulillah, seems to be a lot of good spirit around Father's Day today. I don't know. Seems to me feels a little bit different. It's a little more energetic. Allahu alam. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's true. So, questions, comments. 949. Punch two, you've been punched up for a minute. So if you got a comment, go back out and come back in so that I can get your comment. But for now, we're going to hear from Zarina. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Zarina, are you there? What's going on? I think I got all my stuff.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm sorry, I was on mute.
All right, well, you know I got
my husband just told me he couldn't hear me.
I got a whole lot of anxieties about my technology, so you scare me, make me think I'm done right. So I'm glad it was not me this time.
Yes, sir, it was definitely me. And happy Father's Day to you and all the brothers on the phone and all the mothers that were fathers.
There'll be no fathers if there were no mothers, right? Alhamdulillah.
Yes. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So my comment was just on intuition, and when you were talking about it going out and searching and looking for whatever it is you're looking for. It brought up the thought about when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So when we wanting, being open to learning something, then all that we need starts coming to us. And then when you were talking about the tuning in to the station, it just made me think about how when, you know, you're talking about building community and culture and such. And so if we as a community start thinking of what we want. I thought about the picture in the Muslim journal that was designed during Imam Muhammad's, you know, and I don't know if he, wanted that designed or how that came about, but I just thought about, Rahimahullahi, I just thought about that vision. There was a vision that, you know, when we start looking at what we want, and we keep that picture and that vision in our mind, that's what we can bring into our reality. So, you know,
yeah,
it's, you know, tuning into that station, you know, you turn away from whatever else you was thinking about or talk, you know, and you turn it to what you want, you know, and mm-hmm. and being in the present, you know, we can look into the future to what we want, but not in the, with the faith that we're going to get it, you know. And so understanding that we have that ability to do that, that's what Allah has given us, and for us to design our lives the way we want them. You know, we have to see it to bring it into fruition, because then we, you know, to be able to get to it, we have to see it, and then that help that we need to get there will come to us. So I just wanted to say that. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah, and thank you. You demonstrate an understanding, and the understanding that I want people to have, and also that grasp and that understanding of it's there's so much detail to that. That, I mean, you have you just abstracted and you just explained the abstraction. You just gave the truth in the brief and succinct moment you had, which demonstrates clearly that you understand it. Now, understanding that, I'm saying to you, and I'm also saying to everybody that's listening, you know, excellent. So you've got the 101, the 101, right? So I'm looking forward to the website. When the website is open, we're going to get to the 202 or 201 or whatever. That's coming. No, wallahi, because there's Quran for practically everything that you said, and that's literally what we're talking about. So we're going to get to that. Thank you for your understanding. It's an encouragement.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. It's exciting. You have helped me to just get to another level of what I need to be doing.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
It's an honor. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. All right. Let me see. Make sure I didn't cut myself off on Blog Talk. I might. Oh, no. Okay, I'm here. I got a lot of pages open on my laptop. All right. Let's go. Brother Melvin, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, and happy Father's Day to everyone.
Yes, sir.
Man, this is a fascinating parallel, you know, to the receiver, transceiver, that whole dynamic. I'm finding you've helped me tremendously with the explanation of the capacitor. I'm familiar with the term, but didn't really know exactly what it did in the radio. And now that you've explained that is huge, because as you said, it's like faith. And I mean, that whole balancing thing that it does was something that once you explained it, it made complete sense. But I hadn't grasped that, you know, up until you mentioned that. Now, also the other thing that you had mentioned was the sun cloud egg yolk dynamic that was kind of threw me, because I'm kind of rigid, you know, in my understanding at first. Was that I thought concrete was concrete, abstract is abstract. You know, I saw sun and cloud as concrete as well as egg yolk. So I didn't see the abstract until you explained it, that you can, I guess abstract is another, I don't know how to say it, but I understood, I could see where you made the parallel. So I thought that was another, it helped to expand my concept of abstract. And I remember you even mentioning that sometimes you see these writings, you know, printed material, it's an abstract. It's just what's pulled from something else, you know, pulled from it. You're getting the egg yolk. You can pull from the egg yolk the parallel to the sun and cloud. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the other part.
No, let me take advantage of your question. Even if you have more to say, that's fine. Let me take advantage of the moment, right? Zarina just pointed out, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, right? Also, as the Prophet said, peace be upon him, that the intelligent question is half of knowledge, right? So it's like you can't even, you're not even ready for the information until you have the question. You know what I'm saying? You know, but once you formulate the question, then that means that you're ready. of course, as far as that goes, of our islands. So, all right. So if, you know, you can do it like this in terms of like working out the separation. Let me go ahead and say this. Maturity is in distinction. I'm talking in the process. How do you know when you got it clear, right? When you got it clear, when you're able to make the distinction. Keep you tied to the Quranic statement that speaks to this principle. God said he turned his attention to the skies, and it was as a smoke, right? And then he said, come ye together willingly or unwillingly, and then order came. So first there was chaos, first there was confusion, and then there came structure and order out of the chaos and the confusion. So the idea, the very definition, the very expression that you gave about not being clear about, you call yourself rigid in that respect. No, what it actually is, in my explanation here now, that's the definition of confusion. Confusion. Mm. Two things fused together that need to be separated, right? Mm. So when you separate them, things become clear and they're not confused, right? So that's why that we should be able to see that Quranic statement is a metaphor for. Come on, baby, you're in here now. I'm sorry, Facebook folks, y'all don't get to see Mecca. This is Mecca. This is my daughter's daughter, Rahim Alahore. This is Mecca, and so she's so Facebook folks, so y'all can see her, and she's looking for Grandpa lap time, and she sees herself on the video. But we gotta let you go. I thought I had pushed the door hard enough for it to close, but she just busted on through that, and I know that's in the genes. All right, sister Medina. So since we're putting y'all on display right now, this is grandfather. Go get Medina. Go get your sister. Go get Dina. Go get Medina. You know she don't want to go. All right, I'm gonna get back to that answer in just a second, but I lost grandma somewhere. Grandma. Grandma got it. Grandma to the rescue. Yeah, I have to see the other one later. MashaAllah, sorry, you won't be able to see the other one. All right, but that's okay. Confusion, right? So confusion. So that's how it is with everything that we start. We're confused about it. It's confused, but it's like we don't have to take that as a moral indictment or something like that. I got these two things together. I need to separate them. I need to make them clear. Make them plain, right? Okay, so when you get the information starts the separation. Okay, this belongs over here and that belongs over there. So structure is coming by that separation. That's also maturity that's happening, right? All right, so all that's inside the process itself, right? Let me go ahead and give you specific a little direction. Everybody else can decide what they want to do, but Melvin, I want to give you this specific direction. All right, I want you to if you're in a position to write or make note, just put abstract. Just take the word abstract, right? So that's like the heading, and then we're going to then draw one leg down from that word abstract, and then put concrete. Concrete,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, mm-hmm. so you're going to be like making at least a three-leg little thing, right? So on the left side, in my thinking right now, you abstract, you got a line drawn down that says concrete, and then the abstract line drawn down, you can call it object. You can even use objective. Yeah, you can use object or objective, right? Mm-hmm. And then a third one, you can draw a line down over there. You can put draw, right? And I would say in this case, the way I'm doing this, draw and then put in parentheses right next to draw, you put draw out. You put the word out. So the main word is draw. But then the parenthetically you put draw out, right? All right.
Yes.
So we said abstract. So all these are different aspects of what we say in terms of abstract, right? Okay, so the let's start the left one. No, just go ahead and do another one. It may wind up being in another one. Put another leg on there, and just the idea of put weight in your hand. Now that's a definition from the imam. Weight, weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, weight in your hand. Pardon me, and I'll make it no weight, N-O, no weight in your hand.
Okay.
All right,
yes.
So let's walk back. Yeah. Let's walk back through those four. So abstract, using the imam definition, the last thing I just said, abstract is something that doesn't give weight in your hand. That's the first thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everything you think about, liberty, justice, mercy, love, anything that doesn't, that is not, does not have mass, that's abstract. We can talk about the laws of creation. You can call those abstract too, right? No weight in your hand. Let's go to concrete, right?
Mm-hmm.
Concrete. Abstracts are concrete in the sense that they are real, right? And there's notes that I was actually thinking about. I was going to address today. I may wind up getting to them, but I believe this is an example. I'll say it, even though I won't give the details per se, but like mathematics, right? Mathematics are abstract, but they are also concrete. Mathematics are abstract, but they're also concrete. They're concrete because they actually exist and do something. You know what I'm saying? It's like mathematical principles, whatever, geometry and everything that's used to send rockets to space, to build engines, to do different other kind of work. It's like, what are they operating from? They're operating from mathematics, which itself is abstract, but when you grasp it correctly, I have some very important stuff from quote-unquote Einstein on that, but I don't know, we'll get to it, but the point is that just understand that math is abstract, but it's also concrete. From the Dalai Lama, one of the statements comes is that part of reality, this is just an expression of it, part of reality is what we call abstract composites. Let me get that. All right. Yes. His statement is that the totality of existence includes all that exists physically, which are those things that we see and that are concrete, right? And metaphysically. Metaphysically are things that, you know, they are existing, but we're not seeing them physically. So they are unseen, right? You have things like dark matter and other things like that. They're real, but you don't see them. And they affect things that we do see. And then like gravity. Gravity is also one of them. And the other aspect are called abstract composites, right? So, example, time, right? Time.
Mm-hmm.
Time is real, right? But it doesn't give weight in your hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that reaches your five senses, but it's real, right? So, so it's concrete and it's abstract at the same time. You got it? All right. So that covers two of the things, right? The other
object.
Just want to clear the board with those other two. What are the other two that I gave you?
Object.
Okay, great. Now under object parenthetically put under object scripture, because I think this is where, at least for us for now, it's most important to understand that in this way right now. So put scripture parenthetically under those, what was it, object?
Yes.
All right. So and if you see something, Ma'am has a very specific statement about that, but I'll just put it in my own words, the meaning of it, is that whenever you see something in scripture that is indeed concrete, the highest value of it is to understand it as an abstract. So if I see camel in the Quran, the most important thing about that is not a physical camel, alhamdulillah, but the camel is a sign or a symbol, and that makes it abstract, right? When you see an objective thing, and also when it's being used as a sign or a signal or a symbol, right? When it's being used that way, it is being used abstractly, right? So when you talk about water and clouds and mountains and dogs and olives and trees and fruits and plants, you get it, deserts, whatever. It's just that city doesn't matter. They are objective, meaning palpable to the senses, but they are also abstract in a scriptural or in this metaphysical sense in terms of how can they be used to guide and inform you, right? Because, you know, when you look at a camel, and if you don't see anything more than a camel, then, you know, okay, it's okay. That's all you see, right? But it's not because there's not more information in it. And now that goes, I'm going to move from that and go to the last one because this is an example. Now you have to draw out. That's the abstract, right? You have to draw out of the thing you're looking at. Since I talked about a camel, then we're looking at a camel, right? But that camel, when you understand the camel as a concrete that is representing something abstract, then you have to apply that function in mind of abstract reasoning or abstraction to metaphysically, quote-unquote, reach into that object and draw out. Now you're abstracting. You're drawing out meaning that's in the symbol. So all this is being done metaphysically. All of this is being done with this power of the mind primarily, which is abstract thinking, abstract reasoning. The meaning is in the thing, but you have to be blessed to get the meaning out of the thing, right? So some yes. You know, there's this joke from Freud, whatever. Freud said, well, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, right? When he said sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, that's a play on the idea that every time somebody sees a cigar, they think of a penis, right? It's like, hey, look, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, right? So that's the quote-unquote the humor side of it. But the fact is that there, with Allah's creation, which he has told us, that in everything that he has created is a sign. Everything that he created is a sign. And so therefore, but how do you get the meaning out of the sign? Abstract thought, right? Mm-hmm. You have to apply your mind. We talk about fikr. We talk about dhikr. We talk about reflecting on this thing, think on it, and then that very nature of reflection, we will experience from that. We'll experience from that. Oh, Allah by His will bless us to get out of it. So all those things are abstract. So the point is that abstract, and you find actually many Arabic words that actually one word also means the opposite as well. It carries both meanings in it. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way, abstract is concrete, and concrete is abstract, right? When you understand that if I see an object or if I see a thing, yes, it's concrete, but then also it also carries information, and depending on where I find it and being and how it's being expressed, it is communicating meaning, literally in grammar of the situation that I find it in. So okay, so that's a lot, but you asked the question. So inshallah. Hopefully that didn't confuse more.
No, not at all. In fact, you brought to my mind photosynthesis when you were saying the draw out part.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought. Yes, that was the synthesizing of what you're looking at so you
right.
can get the other. Mm-hmm. Yes. And also the radio, when you said what'd you say? Oh, capacitor is faith. And I'm thinking about the radio, and then you were talking about the tuning. You know, the moving away from the rest, and the interesting part is when you were saying sometimes we're doing Salat and praying, we're trying to think, and I guess the fine tuning is the focusing, is the sincerity and the focus.
Yeah.
You know, so that we can stay. You know, because that's because we get distracted, and sometimes you know if you're not on the station quite right, it's cloudy.
Right.
You start hearing other. You might hear another station while you're trying to focus
right.
on this station. Sometimes you hear two stations at
right.
the same time. You know. And so
right.
and that would be distracting. So, yes. So I was able to see that fine-tuning and is like sincerity and focus, you know.
Alhamdulillah.
And that was
a, I agree.
No,
I agree.
Like, this is really good. This is a great analogy. This whole – and I got to go look at the radio again. I got to look into it. It's a great way to learn, man. That's all I can think.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you very much, brother.
All right, thank you.
Oh, I got to say one more thing. Right. Let me just say one more thing. In speaking of the technology, the fear of technology that we have, Iman Pasha contacted me a while back. I don't know exactly when, but because of my lack of setting up my phone so that I can get messages when people leave a message, because I never check them. I just checked the other day, and I don't know when he left it, and I want to get back in touch with him, so I don't want him to think I just blew him up. I didn't even know he sent me a message, so just wanted to say I'll get back to him. I'm going to call you and get his number. Oh, man, it's a problem. Okay, that's all. Just wanted to put that out there. I figured he may have got the number maybe from you or something, but anyway.
All right, then.
But thank you, brother, man. I'll call you later. Okay,
all right, thank you. Alhamdulillah. This Imam Asmar
Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi, brother Imam. How you doing?
Alhamdulillah. Happy Father's Day to everyone, to you and everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm on cloud nine right now, listening to this commentary, and I'm not the cloud of confusion, but the cloud that holds the rain. So my reference in terms of intuition, it goes right to the story of Yusuf. Okay, and when I say Yusuf, I'm speaking even also in terms of the seven levels that Imam Muhammad commented on. And so my first point is the relationship between memory and intuition. And in the story of Yusuf, starting with the Bible version, it speaks of, I think in that story, it speaks of famine in that story of Jacob, Yusuf, in that family. It speaks of famine, okay? That's Bible. Okay. And then coming on forward with the story, you know, during famine, you know, the animals, they suffer, and some are fed and some are not. Some get lean and so on and so forth during the famine. So that's one part. So that part is for people is a trauma part, so that's a problem. And then in the Quran, Yusuf comes in the intuitive urge to explain the king's dream. And, you know, the story goes seven lean and seven fat, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And so I'm saying now, so I'm drawing upon from Bible version of famine first and that experience that he may have observed in memory. And
okay.
then coming up to where the Quran explains it and what the outcome actually is, even though I think the stories are similar, but you can see in memory that experience that aids his intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So so that's part of, excuse me, that's part of my question, is that relationship between memory, and it's exactly what you said, because I believe it starts out, if you make that observation, a mental picture of seven lean and seven fat. Okay, then that's the concrete. But when Yusef mm-hmm. gets it, he turns it into an abstract to solve the problem.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that sounds correct. So in some, like what Sister Zarina was saying, he already had something happen with the five senses, but the transition from five senses to intuition is a whole nother process.
Uh-huh.
So it went from, now, just my own understanding conclusion is that it went from a concrete to an abstract, from famine to feast, based on intuition over that period of time. Did you see my point?
Yes, I do.
So it kind of fills in what you're saying. So it's a lot more to that, but I'm just cutting it short. And
of
you
course.
See that
yes.
also in the Methland that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
in the Bible also, Jesus speaks of himself as divine.
Mm-hmm.
And then also he mentions the tree and what all that represents.
That starts out
concrete.
Hold on.
Okay.
I just want to make sure everybody heard what you said, as the vine, not divine. Because, you know, sometimes
comes across as these.
So I don't want anybody to say, because I'm not rubber stamping the idea that it's, I know you said the vine. But, you know,
right.
when you talk about Jesus, that you throw anything that sounds like divine, and it's going to gravitate. Oh, yeah, Jesus is divine. But go ahead. Let's wind it up.
That was it. So,
okay.
If Jesus is coming in the seven levels, the
mm-hmm.
positive and the negative, it is
mm-hmm.
also separating what is a benefit and what is harm.
Yes.
And so the
and
same
also
thing
darkness
experience.
And light.
Exactly.
Yes.
Same thing is happening with Yusef in his dream, separating what is harm and what is benefit. Also, but my main thing is the relationship between memory, your experiences through the five senses, and then how it transitions into the intuition that expresses the outcome for the
All
future.
Right. Alhamdulillah. So thank you. So that's fine. That's fine. It's wonderful. Praise be to Allah. So I don't know if you have, and I don't know if Zarina has, but either way, for me, it's understand. Of course, I'm hopeful that you have read the book, my book, The Clear Path to Human Development, because alhamdulillah, good. So that's because when we get that, it's like that's world-changing information. So I thank you so much for your understanding. I thank you for your sharing. Alhamdulillah, and that's very, very important. I will make one statement. 459, I'm coming to you right now. I'll make one statement, because the point is that it's not, you know, sometimes some people might listen to the types of things that we're talking about, and they might, you know, make the mistake of just
taking it like, oh, man, that's way over my head, man. I can't get it out. No, no, no. It's like, it's actually, when it's true, when it's correct, you can find something in your everyday experience that relates to that. So what the imam just said, Imam Asma, what he just said, we said the movement from the concrete to the abstract, relating it to the feast and the famine, related the famine and the feast, turn it around, and also the lean and the fat, blah, blah. So whereas those who were exposed to it before, they couldn't get anything out of it. So there was a famine. The famine was on them in that here we're showing you something that has great possibility to solve the problem or to feed those people suffering in the situation mentally, spiritually, et cetera. But because they didn't have the wherewithal in their own cognitive capacity to see those concretes in abstract ways, then the people still starving, literally and figuratively. But because Yusuf had that training, he's able to look at the concrete and bring out the abstract, and people can get fed, right? And that's reality. But again, this is also that's algebra. That is algebra. So if somebody shows you a problem, and you say A times 5 plus X, you know, and then you have another equation that you're trying to figure out with, you know, and X plus A minus 10 or what have you, and then you have equivalencies on there, then all those letters are variables. All those letters are variables. And so what you have to do, so by being variables, they are actually abstracts, right? They're abstract in the sense that what is their value? You really don't know what their value is, but they hold some kind of value because they're in the formula. So now what you have to do, you have to be able to move it from abstract to concrete. And that's when you do the algebra. You do the algebra by reading the signs and the symbols and doing the operations that the signs and the symbols tell you to do. And then you can come to a concrete value for X and concrete value for A, then put them back into the problem and process it out in the same way. Then you get the answer. So I'm saying that's abstract thought, that's abstract reasoning, that's mathematics, et cetera, and that's really what we're talking about, the movement from abstract to concrete, concrete to abstract, and making it impact your world in a very real way. That's what the world, that these computers that we're on, these telephones that we're on, all these different devices, these are all results of people doing exactly what I'm talking about, but on different levels and for different purposes. Now, we have this reality of ourselves, and we have the Quran, the universal book from the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's like there is not a problem that we cannot solve. In fact, the Quran says there's not a question they bring you for which we have not provided the answer and the best explanation. So that's why we have an obligation to become masters of the book. So it's very, very important. So let's keep moving this way so inshallah we can begin to impact the world in a real way that we want to see it transformed. Thank you, Imam. Assalamu alaikum.
You're welcome. Alaikum assalam.
All right. I think we've got Naeem.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Naeem, Imam.
If I was a poker player, then I'd say, man, we got a full house. It's not a royal flush. But I'm not.
I got you.
Alhamdulillah. Go ahead.
Alhamdulillah. Well, once again, I'd just like to wish a happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there and the mothers and sisters and daughters and sons who's connected to that Father's Day out here. I'd like to wish them a happy Father's Day. Imam, you just actually in your closing statement right there, in your addendum to, I guess, somebody's question, you just answered the question that I was going to ask you, and it was about the understanding, which I do. I feel I have a pretty good handle on that that abstraction and concrete. However, sometimes when reading the Quran, especially, and I'm sure it can be done in other readings too, but especially the Quran, in the process of doing that, what you just explained, even though I have the understanding on it and do it, sometimes I think naturally in terms of pulling the abstract out or using the abstract, sometimes when I guess I get too far in my own head in terms mm-hmm. of that process and the method and the method and the technique of doing that. I mean, you can do it, and sometimes you start thinking about, you know, I want to mm-hmm. get even further in there. Or I come to an area yeah. that the concrete just doesn't jump right out at me,
right.
or the abstract doesn't
yeah.
jump out.
Yeah.
So then
yeah.
I start thinking
yeah.
of the process of doing it. And I just wanted to let you know that there was an area, that area right there, that I just appreciate so much, but didn't quite have understanding on that. So, I mean, you don't even have to answer that, because you just did in your closing statement about the importance of understanding that there is a method and a process, and the formula is what is really important, the understanding of the formula and getting it established. In one's not just one's head, but getting it established in the muscles of your thought thinking process.
Yeah.
So yeah. that formula comes up. In any event, you just put it out there, and it satisfied me in knowing what I needed to know about that. Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent. So thank you so much. As we've said with other things, it is a great opportunity for me to restate to you all those details. I'm going to take the release that Naeem gave me by saying, you know, you don't have to go into the details of it, blah blah blah. So I won't go into the details of it. But for several things that we've heard this morning, which really is showing me that those who are making those comments, they are tracking, they are in touch, they do understand, they are following, and they are maturing in their capacity for thought and perception in the way that I'm pleased that they are, which also says then that means, okay, well, we're ready for next level kind of stuff, because there's some things that I just don't talk about, because if I haven't been satisfied that it's not, and the Prophet tells us it's against us, it's against his sunnah to bring things to someone who's not capable of understanding what you're bringing. So I often get nervous about, I use that term loosely. I'm concerned. I'm always concerned about, okay, well, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, I mean, you can show that, and somebody can listen to it and hear and say, "Yeah, man, that's heavy, that's deep, that's that." But if they're not gaining benefit from it that they can take and use and apply by virtue of their understanding it, well, then what's that? It's an ego. It can be an ego exercise if you do that. I'm not interested in that, because there's work to be done. All right. So let me see. Let's. Time flies when you're having fun. So let me see what I got to check one thing. And let's see. All right, great. So I thought I was going to go straight into idea today, but after reviewing some of the comments, I said, well, no, take one more step into that. And I found a nice piece, so I didn't send it out to everyone, so you just need to follow along with me. Here, but it's from a statement that Imam Muhammad made. So we're still on intuition. So we're still speaking more about intuition. And so I'm just going to walk through this statement from the Imam. You can find it inside of an address that we aired on Blog Talk Radio. It must have been the All Things Human broadcast, September 7th, 2020. So if you can get into the archives of Blog Talk Radio. Look for the September 7th, 2020 broadcast, and usually that's the first hour of the All Things Human piece.
And I actually I can identify for you. It's like in the at about 6 minutes into part two. That is part two, Imam W.D. Muhammad, the greater community on that blog talk broadcast. About 6 minutes in, he begins to talk about his spirit and mind going into another dimension. So that's what I'm going to speak to now. I'm going to, inshallah, with Allah's help and permission, et cetera, we're going to elaborate on that. And the biggest value is putting something in your quote-unquote grasp, your mental hand, if you will, that you can understand how it's used. And most importantly, to perceive the design, a design of reality. Let me just go and read on and then we'll get to it. So Imam Muhammad's statement, I began. He said, the good news is that this ain't spooky. Just my own natural life, it goes into another reality. The natural life in me, it goes into another dimension of reality. It goes in there with my spirit first. And after my spirit dwells in there long enough, my mind learns something about that new dimension that my spirit has gone into. My mind, my rational curiosity, eventually, with God's help, lets me know more about that world that my spirit has gone into. A bigger dimension of space. In reality, yes, I have already experienced that. Thank God. End of quote. So, here. We say to each other, Assalamu alaikum. That's what we say, Assalamu alaikum, right? So why do we as individuals speak to another individual as though they were a group? Because each one of us, Nafsun Wahida. Each one of us is Nafsun Wahida in the literal and in the figurative sense. Each one of us is a part of a single body. Khalaqakum min Nafsun Wahida. From one single body. La ba'dukum wa ma khalaqakum wa ma ba'dukum illa ka Nafsun Wahida. So your creation and your resurrection is in no wise except as a single thought. So we're all one. That's a big deal. We're all one. So when we say assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam, all right? So we are plural. Even though we're in one body, we are a plurality, right? And we all have these properties. We have these human properties, these human capabilities. There's a design in us. We're designed in a particular way that Allah has designed us, and we have aspects of us that are autonomous, that are separate. We have urges, we have impulses, we have different forces in our body that in some fields of science, they're actually called sub-personalities, mean that they actually have aspirations of their own. They have aspirations. So you and I are like a corporation. You and I are like a corporation. And we are supposed to make all the executive decisions. And we are supposed to make sure that all of our urges and our impulses line up and go in the direction that the executive function, the thinking capacity in us says, and the willing capacity in us says, no, you're not going to eat now, you're going to eat later. No, you're not going to play that game now, you're going to play that later. No, you're not going to do that anymore, we don't do that anymore, et cetera. But it's something inside of us, this urge, this impulse that has a motivation of its own, a drive, an urge of its own, that you have to grow to the point where you are managing that and directing it according to the best plan for your life and for your future, except. All right, so there's that plurality. Okay, so what are those attributes? Each one of us, sticking with what the Imamah says, it says my spirit goes in first, right? It goes in there with my spirit, right? And after my spirit dwells in there for a while, my mind learns it. So right there, the Imamah is showing us, and I know there are many, many more, but mind and spirit. So it's like understanding that mind has a quote-unquote personality and this spirit has a personality, right? This mind has an appetite and the spirit has an appetite. Mind has an urge and the spirit has an urge. So what he's talking about, so he has a spirit that's looking for, now let's call it literally, name it, et cetera, the spirit of truth, right? It doesn't have to be a Jibreel, you understand? It's the spirit that for the truth, right? And so the appetite for the truth, which is something separate from, it operates in your interest, inshallah, it operates in your interest, but it has an autonomy, it has an independence, it has the ability to go where you cannot go, right? And just sidebar, marginal note, footnote to Naeem's comment with regard to the idea of sometimes when we try to force ourselves or we exert ourselves intellectually or rationally or logically, that actually pushes intuitions further away, because it is not the function of that property to discover those things that only spirit can discover. They have to be discovered first by that spirit of truth. So then that's when we start talking about the what Iqbal, Alama Iqbal, Rahmullah Alayhi, what he called inarticulate feelings. So everything else that we're working with at that point are ideas and language that we already have. If we're trying to discover something that we don't already have as an idea and we don't have language for it, then we have to leave what we already know, in a manner of speaking. We have to leave that behind because that's going to get in the way of what it is that we're looking for. But all those things get detailed when we have master classes on it. But the point is that it is about learning how to let go of the rational side at a certain level when we in a certain stage of your search, right? And that is the picture that you get in Abraham, star, moon, sun. When he transcended all that, then he saw that which was superior to all of that. And Abraham is an abstraction. He's an abstract but real, but who represents someone who completed the whole journey, who had the capability of doing both the rational and the spiritual and all of that. All right. So the point is that we have these properties, and this is what the Imam is saying. He said, first, my spirit goes into a bigger dimension, right? Another dimension of reality. That's another thing. It's like spirit can go where the mind cannot. It's just the mind can't go. It has to come by invitation, of the spirit, right? This is what the Imam is saying. It goes in there with my spirit, and after my spirit dwells in there for long enough, my mind learns something about the new dimension. The spirit has to educate the mind, right? It goes in it. My mind, my rational curiosity, eventually, with God's help, lets me know more about that world. But who's educating who? The spirit is educating the mind. The mind doesn't go in there first. The spirit goes in there first. And then after the spirit is there, then the mind is invited into it. This is what Iqbal was saying when we went through the whole piece about inarticulate feeling and idea and word and language. You got to go back, look at your notes on that, and read that, because this is what the Imam is saying. All right, now here's some of my reflections on
on that because I want to connect it with something else that we already know, and Allah knows best. Okay, so the spirit of truth, right? That spirit, because that's what that spirit is. If you want to know the truth, then there's a spirit in you that is always looking for the truth. It's looking for the truth. So the spirit is in front of you. The spirit is ahead of you. The spirit is leading you, inshallah, to the truth that you're looking for, right? Your mind comes behind the spirit. So inshallah, you know, when you keep stay in touch with your own spirit and stay in touch, you know, in your own mind of that aspiration, inshallah, what Imam says eventually happens. My mind, my curiosity, eventually with God's help, lets me know more about that world that my spirit has gone into. So that goes back to the transceiver aspect of it, right? So yeah, the spirit that's going into these bigger dimensions, another dimension of reality that we don't know, but the spirit goes there, right? All right, but then the spirit transmits, if you will, it communicates that to the mind. Now the mind is the transceiver, so the mind, you call it gray matter, right? So the brain is called gray matter, but that's abstract. The label gray matter is symbolism. The label gray matter is symbolism, right? Where do you get gray? You get gray from the overlap of black and white. When the black and white overlay, then you got gray, right? Gray matter. Why? Because the brain is the transceiver for what you know and what you don't know. The dark is what you don't know, right? That's your ignorance, et cetera. But it's also your faith as well. But then also the enlightenment is what you're conscious of. The dark is what you're unconscious of. This brain has the conscious and unconscious dimensions of it. So all of this, all I'm just trying to say, this is the gray matter. But this is also the bridge between the space and time that we actually live and function in and the metaphysical reality that is also composed of these abstract composites. And don't let that word go. You need to take that and hold it as a bag so you can carry stuff in it, abstract composites, because abstract composites are, as we said, time is an abstract composite. Mathematics is an abstract composite. The laws of physics, et cetera, those are all abstract composites. They are very real. And they do things in the world. Once the mind brings them out of that dimension of abstract composites, gives them form in the context of operations, and puts them to work in the world. That's why we have all the things that we have right now. Let me go ahead and jump on taking advantage of the biblical connection between this. And this is from the Imam. When Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, I believe it was in John, where you know, he said, it is expedient to you that I go away, for if I go not away, then the Comforter can't come unto you. So the Imam, again, interpretation, photosynthesis, you know, abstracting, all of that. The Imam does that with that statement as an example. And so he says, who is Jesus? Jesus, he is the spirit. He is that spirit. He's a spirit and a word from God, right? That's Quran. But he represents in that picture that's to serve God, obey God, etc., to do God's will. So it had, did you not think that I would not be about my Father's business, right? So in terms of the Comforter, the Imam said if a person only focuses on just spirit and intuition, where in that same chapter, John, Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. That in that chapter, I believe also, I don't know, I think it's John 16. I think it's 16th chapter. I don't know. Don't have to be right on that. But Jesus would speak, and it said, and then the disciples ask him, you know, why do you speak to us in parables, right? Why are you giving us all this symbolism, right? He says, one that's going to come after me, he's going to speak plainly. So that's the difference between spirit and mind. That's the difference between the rational and the spiritual. The whole question about Jesus, when he found some of the disciples, they were fishing. He said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, right? They were casting their nets on one side of the boat. He said, cast the nets on the other side of the boat, blah, blah. So all of this is speaking to these properties in us as human beings. And the road to making the abstract concrete in your work. That's the life of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and what he represents, and the wisdom that is couched in all of those pictures. This is world-changing wisdom. This is life-changing wisdom. So when the imam says, my spirit goes in there, and then the mind is invited, basically I'll call it. He says, my rational curiosity eventually lets me know more about the world that my spirit has gone into. So when Jesus said, when he comes, the spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Comforter, the imam explained that the comforter represents the rational comforts that come in consequence of understanding what the spirit led you to. When the spirit led you to it, okay, then you don't stay in the spirit. That's what Jesus said. He said, it is expedient to you that I go away, that you don't just look at what I'm doing. Either in the, you can apply it also in the concrete way. Muslims who were devoted to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this time, there were many things that those Muslims did, misunderstanding the reality of Muhammad as a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa taala, as a sign and one who has been commissioned by the Creator of Heaven. They were doing it. They were trying to collect his water, the water from his wudu, just as an example. They're trying to collect the water from his wudu so that they can wipe it all over themselves, thinking that that's what's going to bring them closer to God and all the other things. And the prophet had to straighten them out. He said, no, it's not that. Do this. It's not that. Do this. And so the same thing happened with Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, at his time. And they were at a even further earlier point in time in history, so they would be, I would say, even further back in terms of their civilizational development. But at the same time, the same process had to be carried out. So he's saying, it's meaning to you that I go away. That's both literally and figuratively. You're looking at my body. You're looking at me personally. You're looking at my flesh. You're dealing with me in the concrete ways. No, you have to be able to see, well, let there be in you the same mind that's in me. I'm in you and you're in me, all of this. Imam Asma talked about the vine and all the rest of that. This is all in there. But let's move away, because we're in the position today to, okay, so what does that mean concretely? What does that mean scientifically? What does that mean actually? What does that mean objectively? What can I do with that? Well, this is what the imam is telling us, that this is what happens. When your spirit for truth is matured, it goes into bigger and other dimensions of reality. It goes there first, and then your mind comes in touch with spirit has gone into first, and then your mind gets educated about that other dimension. And it brings it back into this world of operation. So that's the gray matter transceiver aspect of it. There's the spirit. We're going to put the spirit in terms of that light in another dimension, but then now that light from another dimension comes back to the mind, brain, transceiver, and then that light is brought into the world in the way of the knowledge which was at one time unknown to that person. But then the spirit found it, language and ideas for it. It was embodied in language and ideas and concepts, and now it's shared in the world. So that's actually an abstraction there. Spirit goes in, identifies what's being sought. Mind is invited in. Mind becomes educated about what spirit discovered first. And then the mind now is able to palpably transform. And actually the word is transduce. The word is transduce. So you take something that was abstract, impalpable, abstract composites, et cetera, though real, but for the mind, it's not. That's not the first stop. The mind has to be brought into a conceptualization of what the spirit discovers first. That's that intuition. Okay, but then once the mind gets educated to it, now the comforts can come. The what comforts? Automobiles, lights, computers. Where they get made from? Abstract composites, airplanes. Who got there first? Spirit. Spirit got there first. But the person who had the spirit for it, they, how can you say, focused on it well enough and long enough until they grasped it and were able to find the object for the subject. Well, they're able to say, oh, this is what you can do with that in the real world, right? So let's move on. So when the spirit of truth goes into another dimension and discovers something, it has discovered the truth. See, the truth is universal. Let's just put it. The truth is universal. The truth is not one thing. The truth is not one thing. The truth is it's the truth, right? The truth is reality. What is reality? Reality is everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Everything that Allah has created. And when Allah said kun fayakun, when Allah says be and it is, that everything. Everything exists right now. And everything that Allah created is truth, is haq, is real. But we're not in touch with everything that is true and real. And it's a very rich discussion related to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constructed us in such a way that we will not be confronted with the truth at all points and times and moments. It would be like, just an analogy, it would be like if we had no ozone layer, you know, no ozone layer to protect us from the rays of the sun. We immediately right now, and as it stands, it's like, yeah, the sun is a beautiful thing. Oh, man, the sun is out today, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it wouldn't be so good if the ozone layer was not there. It's like, no, we're done. We're cooked, literally. So it is also with truth. You know, we can't see the truth, all of it, right away. It's like, no, you're done. No. You can even relate that to the idea of Moses and say, I want to see you. God said, no, you can't see me. You couldn't even stand to see me. You don't have a mechanism capable of seeing me or bearing the force of such a perception. But look at the mountain. If it remains, then we'll talk. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So the point is that that spirit of truth, the truth is just there. Like, so that bigger dimension, that other dimension of reality, just call it truth. Just call it truth. The truth of what? The truth of anything that you're looking for. It's out there. Everybody doesn't see every truth. Why? Because everybody's not interested in every truth. All of us are interested in particular aspects of truth. And it's the aspect that relates to us. I'm interested in the aspect of truth that I'm interested in. You can read that egoistically if you want to. You got your own issues. The point is that to each is a goal to which he is turning, so strive is in a race towards all that is good. That Quranic statement, 2:148, is a statement that is saying, I created all of you to have certain interests. All of you have a proclivity, an inclination, an interest in some things that other people don't have interest in. Why? Let's go back to the Bible, where the Bible said, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the seeing be? Okay, so the point is, Allah said, I didn't make you all to be just one thing. I made you all to be something that's useful to all of you. And there is a path and a pattern that you go through, you human beings go through, to discover your purpose in my creation, Allah. Your purpose in my creation, And so your goal is fastabiqul khairat. You are supposed to go after all that is good and excellent and useful. Khairukum man yanfa an-nas. The best among you is the one who's most useful to society. And how are you going to become useful to society? You have to cause your properties, your skill sets, your abilities, your potentials to grow. And then you bring them back as sadaqah in service to the plan of God for humanity. That's what's supposed to happen. All right. So when the spirit of truth goes into another dimension and discovers something, it has discovered the truth. But at that point of discovery, the mind does not have a category of thought. This I'm explaining my understanding of what the imam is saying, giving a little more detail. So the mind is unable to understand what the spirit had discovered at a point, because the mind has no category of thought for whatever it was discovered. Inarticulate feeling, right? Inarticulate feelings like, I have no words for it. I have no words for it. Who has no words for it? The mind. But the spirit knows what it has discovered. The mind is just not ready to understand it. That's Jesus. I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Who is that? That's the spirit talking to the mind. That's the spirit talking to the mind. Man. I got a lot to say. And that's what we feel. Sometimes, man, ooh, it's right there. Well, that's inarticulate feeling. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So you just have to be a layman, right? And you have to lay with it, inshallah. And it'll dawn by the grace of Allah. So وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And they encompass nothing of Allah's knowledge except what He pleases. So Allah said, be patient. Be there. Believe. Be in a state of consciousness. Be in a humble state. Be desirous of knowing the truth. And I will, inshallah, I will cause you to know. وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعْلِمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So it's like, be conscious of God, or be conscious in the way that Allah wants you to be conscious, and Allah is always teaching you. All right, so let's move on. So it says, but at that point of discovery, the mind has no category of thought for what the spirit has discovered. However, when the spirit introduces it to the mind, this is what the imam said. He said, my mind learns something about the new dimension that my spirit has gone into. My mind, my rational curiosity, eventually with God's help, lets me know more about that world that my spirit has gone into. And so this is what we're extending on. It says that, however, when the spirit introduces it to the mind, then the mind gives it a name. The mind gives it a name. All right? So we're following, and we'll conclude the broadcast with these ideas, inshallah. Khalaqa, sawwa, qaddara, hada. Surah Al-A'la, chapter 87. This process follows that form. Khalaqa, sawwa, qaddara, hada. Okay. So the imam talked about my spirit, my natural life goes into another dimension of reality, a bigger dimension. It goes there first and dwells there for long enough until my mind learns something about that new dimension. All right, so this is step one. When the mind learns about it, how do you know if the mind learns about it? It can name it. It can name it. I have a name for it. I have a name for it. So now you're talking about ideas. So we did get to say something about idea at this moment. It's like that. Now you have an idea. You've ever heard the phrase that you have no idea of this, that, or the other. You have no idea. It happens all the time. There are many things that the mind has no idea for. But there are things that the spirit comes to that the mind has no idea of. But in time, the spirit will educate the mind into what it is. And when that happens, the mind gives it a name. The mind has a category of thought for it. Now it's starting to come into the three-dimensional world. from that higher dimension, from that other dimension, now it's coming into this dimension. Why? Because you have language for it. You have an idea of it. That's how it gets from the abstract composite, no weight in your hand dimension to the place where it can be dealt with in concrete ways in three-dimensional space. So that, and it starts with words. Literally, that implement, that tool called word, that's where it starts. The word becomes a container for the idea, which was itself abstract. That's chalaka. So it gets a name, chalaka. And then that name becomes a body. That name becomes a body, right? a rational place within the system. That it's given a place within the system, a category of thought, right? That's the sawa. Chalaka is the form itself, which is literally the word that is the body of the thing. Now, the value of that word and the value of that thing and the purpose and the function of that thing is the proper context. So whatever, there are physics discoveries and those things that are identified by virtue of the intuition that educates the mind, and then the mind puts a label on it, and then the reality of it is that when you understand it, you understand its place among all other knowledge related to it. We talked about the Oscars, not the Oscars, we talked about the Nobel Prize, right? The Nobel Prize is given to people who name something. I'll stay in the context of what we're talking about. The people who name something and show it to the world of people who are familiar with that domain, and they say, treat it like a puzzle piece. I'm saying to you, treat it like a puzzle piece and say, here, I have discovered this puzzle piece, and this puzzle piece fits right here. And then people look at it, see how it fits. That's right. He discovered another piece. All right? Give him the Nobel Prize. In what? Economics. Or what about this one? Chemistry. What about this one? In governance. Whatever. So, okay, so that's how it is. So you have given it its place within the system. The system being whatever domain of knowledge you're talking about. Doesn't matter. So that's the sawa. That's the sawa. It happens for everything that grows among us as human beings. Chalaka, language, words for it. Sawa, where it fits within the system of what already exists, right? So you give it a category of thought, so you put it in its place, et cetera. So you have a place, a category of thought for what has been discovered, and that's what makes it active. Now, qaddara, that's what makes it active. Once you take that inarticulate feeling, you find the word / idea, for it, and then you have, then that is the form, khalaka. Then the sawa, you have the place within the system, and the way that you show that, or the way that you benefit from it being properly placed within the system, is that the power comes out of it. As the power comes, just look at everything. Whatever we have, automobiles, doesn't matter. Airplanes, right? Airplanes, right? Okay, we want to fly, blah, blah, blah. Okay, then now you got to go through all the changes until you get the right knowledge, the right language for what it is that you're talking about. Understand where that language fits within the system of things that fly, okay? Then that's the sawa. So now you found the sawa for now, qaddara. If you got it in the right place, then it's going to release the power of that thing that's in it by nature. There's power in it by nature, but you cannot get to the qadara until you have the khalaka and sawa, until you have the right form, until you have the right place within the system. You will not be able to get the beneficial power from whatever it is that you are talking about. But given that you do, then that's what happens, right? The qadara, right? Now, add to that, where Allah says, "Sakhara lakum ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard," I have created to render service to you everything that in the skies and the earth. That's one. So everything is here for use: wind, water, sun, electricity, fossil fuels, mathematics, or whatever. This is yours, guys. This is yours. But you have to learn how to use it. You have to grow into the knowledge of these things, and they don't have any resistance once you name them. Huh? Sounds like the angels, doesn't it? Because that's what it is. It's like when Adam tells them their names. And when Adam names them, then they bow. Not because he is him, but because Allah says, whoever does this, do you do that. And they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, how does it happen for human beings? Khalaqa, identify the form, which includes, again, language. I'm going to go all the way back over it. So khalaqa, the yastawa, understand where it fits within the system, right? There's a lot of language about grammar in that very situation, because everything that you discover, there's a grammar for it, meaning that certain things belong in certain places in order for you to get certain benefits from them, systemically speaking. If you have it misplaced, you're not going to get the power out of it. But given that you put it in the right place, then you get the qadara. Qadara is you have the power that comes out of the potential in you and in everything else that you are addressing, right? And then khalaqa, fasawwa, wa qadara, fahada, hada. Then you will also, the highest use and the highest benefit of whatever you achieve and accomplish and create and produce by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has not reached its main objective until you use it to serve the will of Allah in your life and time. That's what it's for. All that is what you have discovered, and the power that is coming forth from it, apply it, make it work in accordance with the guidance of Allah, Allah's will and intention for humanity. When you do that, then you have great, great, great space. So there's a lot more that we, inshallah, we'll talk to it later. I'm going to leave that right now. All right, so thank you so much for your time and attention. Again, happy Father's Day to those fathers amongst us, and inshallah, all will be well. Basically, that's going to be it for today. And signing off. Allah speak to you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You'll be so